Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Yud Zayin and Becharos. We're back on Tet Zayin and Mudbeis, and we started the two dots. We started yesterday with a discussion of making a business arrangement called the Tzon Barzel arrangement. And it's basically venture capital, where the non-Jew has sheep, and the non-Jew hands over the sheep to a Jew, and it says to him as follows. First of all, let's assess how much the value of the sheep are. Whatever the price is, let's say they're $1,000, you owe me $1,000. In other words, you're totally liable and on the hook for the principal value of the capital that I give you. Then on top of that, then we'll go into a business arrangement. And the business arrangement will be that any children that are going to be born are going to go split half-half. You'll get half the vlados, I'll get half the vlados. Okay. As I mentioned yesterday, the half the vlados that go to the non-Jew, that for sure is pater from Bechor. There's no discussion to be had over there. That definitely belongs to the Bechor. What about the half that goes to the Jew? So now it's it gets a little bit unclear. Because on one hand, you'll say that the part that goes to the Jew belongs to the Jew. So the simple pshat would be that those animals are chai Bechor. Meaning it's true that they came from a mother who is going to have to go back and be returned to the non-Jew. But the child is going to be chayv in the mitzvah of Bechor. Good. So that's the simple pshat. However, as we mentioned yesterday, there's a shibud. There's a lien that the non-Jew is holding against the Jew. And if the Jew is unable to pay back the tzon barzel, the original animals, so now the non-Jew can come over and take even future animals against the principal. Because so there's a shibud, there's a lien. And so what that lien does is it gives a basically yad ovid kochavim, a hand of the non-Jew, onto the sheep. And so therefore, consequently, those children, the vlados, also may be from Petur in the mitzvah of Bechor, simply because the non-Jew has a shibud, has a lien. Okay, now that's the general picture. Let's be more specific, because the Mishnah is more specific. So the Mishnah brings down a machlokus on this matter. The Mishnah says that if you're mekabel tzon barzel from a non-Jew, so the vlados them are pturim, meaning you go one generation later, they're going to be pater. Now remember, I went over Rashi yesterday. We'll go over Rashi one more time today. Rashi says, when it says vlados them pater, it doesn't mean that the offspring are actually pater from the mitzvah of Bechor, meaning that the offspring, when they have children, are going to be pater from the mitzvah of Bechor. Vladosea means when the children have children, or in our mitzvah of Bechor, when the children have a firstborn male, that's going to be pater from the mitzvah of Bechor. However, you move one generation later, so now you're at the third generation, they're going to be chayiv. Okay. Then the Mishnah talks about a scenario where Hamid Vladusem Tachasim Oseim. Let's say at the origination of the business venture, the Jew says to the non-Jew, you know what? Not only are these sheep, meaning the original ones that you're going to give me, not only do they stand as security, but the second generation also is going to stand as security. So then all we're going to do now is we're going to move one generation lower. So Hamid Vladusem Tachasim Oseim Vlade Vladus Peturim. Vlade, Vlade, Vlados, Chayavim. Okay, that's all the Tanakhama. And then comes along Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Aaron liked Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel yesterday. Along comes Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and says, I don't understand. Whatever child is going to be born, whatever offspring is going to be born, stands to serve as a lien against the Tzon Barzel. Meaning the Jew owes the Tzon Barzel. And if not to be collected from the original animals, will be collected from generation 2, generation 3, up until generation 10, even go past generation number 10. So in other words, every animal could potentially be leaned against the original venture, or the original capital. And so therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, I totally don't understand. Every animal, therefore, has yad ovei kochavim. And so therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, I'm pattering every single vlad, every single offspring, generations 1 through 10, and you can keep on going. Good. And then the Mishnah went into the halachas of Nidmeh, which is what we'll do later on. But in the meantime, that's the basic outline of the Mishnah. And let's continue in the Gemara. We're now at the two dots. Hamid Vladosem Tachasim Oseim Vlade Vlados Peturim. Amar Rav Huna Vlados Peturim Vlade Vladosem Chayavim. Rav Huna says that the children will be pater, the offspring will be pater, but the third generation will be chayav. What did Rav Huna just add to our Mishnah? And the answer is nothing. Meaning, good, that's when you and I read the Mishnah, that's how we read the Mishnah as well. Rav Huna says what we would consider to be the simple pshat of the Mishnah. Good, that's Rav Huna. Rav Yehuda Omer, Vlade Vlados Nami Peturin. Rav Yehuda disagrees. He says that, and he considers this to be pshat in the Mishnah, that the third generation is going to be exempt. And we're not talking about Rabbi Shimon Gamal. We're talking about the Tanakama. The third generation is going to be exempt. So that means the original sheep that was used as its own barzel, the second generation also will be exempt. According to Rav Huna, the third generation is going to be exempt as well. And only when you get to generation number four, they're going to be pater. And Vlade, Vlade, Vlados Chayavim. Good. Tanan. So, Machlok Shin Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna, but when you think about it, you say to yourself, what? What are they arguing about? Meaning the Mishnah couldn't be any clearer. So, it's going to be order of business number one. Tanan. Hamid Vlados Tachasim Hosein Vlade Vlados Peturim. What did the Mishnah talk about? What if we structured the venture capital where I say to the non-Jew, we're going to take this second generation and use that also as a lien. So then we're going to go down one more generation. But that's only if I'm ma'amid, meaning that's only if I make a special arrangement. Time of the ha'amid, halo ha'amid lo, to yufta de Rav Yehuda. Okay? And obviously that would be difficult for Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda says, we're automatically going to default down to the third generation, even if I'm not ma'amid, and from the mission it sounds like, no, only if I'm ma'amid. So Amlecha Rav Yehuda, would din afak abdolo ha'amid. So the Gemara of Rav Yehuda's answer is very simple. No. The truth of the matter is, even if you're not ma'amid, we're automatically going to go down to third generation. And the point the Mishnah is making is, even if you're ma'amid, it's not going to change anything. Meaning, it'll still be basically the same structure in terms of what the non-Jew is going to go after. If the original animals are available, fine. If the second generation is available, he'll go after that as well. But that's about it. Meaning he won't go after the third generation, even if you're not ma'amid.
Based on what?
Again, this is...
Well, why are you making that assumption? He may go all the way as Rabbi
Gamliel. Yeah, I know. Right. Intuitively, you hear Rabbi Shimon Gamliel.
Yeah.
We mentioned this yesterday. Shimon Gamliel sounds like... It just sounds more intuitive. Right, we made this.
Unless you return the principle.
Yeah. So, okay, so Chayav.
Because you think about it, right? You don't get there, but you show them, you know.
Right, who knows? Who knows?
The guy is not going to want his sheep back.
Right. Tanan, we're going to do this again. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Afil Adasara Daros. Peturim, Sha'achre Yosam, Lo'ove Kochavim. Good. So we quote the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. How is that difficult? Look, again, we have a machlok between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. How far down are we going before the non-Jew basically says, okay, now it's yours? Okay, before he stops looking at that generation as a lien, as a mortgage against his security, against his capital. So again, Rav Huna says, we go down two generations, like the Mishnah, like the simple pshat in the Mishnah, and Rav Yehuda says, no, you go down a third generation. So the Gemara says, well, look at it this way. Rav Shimon Gamliel argues. That's no question about it. Rav Shimon Gamliel says you're going to go down even 10 generations. Why did he use the number 10? Why did he go so far down? So Bishlam of the Rav Yehuda, you know the Gemara says, you know who it makes sense to? It makes sense to Rav Yehuda. Damanach is Tanakama Ladare, because the Tanakama already is going down more than one generation. The Tanakama is already down to generation number 3. So now Rav Shimon Gamliel, addressing the Tanakhama, says, 3? Go even further. Go down to 10. Hainu damar le'Rav Shimon Gamliel, afilu adasara daros peturim. Ela le'Rav Huna, but if you're Rav Huna, where damar lo nachis Tanakhama le'dare, the Tanakhama is not talking generations. Tanakhama is just dropping down one generation. So if Rav Shimon Gamliel needed to make his point, which is you keep going, so Rav Shimon Gamliel would just simply say, no, keep going. Meaning, not one generation, more than one generation. And he didn't have to use the number Adasara Doros. So the Gemara says, Afilo Adasara Doros. Ela Rav Huna Damar, Lo Nachis Tanakam Ladari, Maya Afilo Adasara Doros. I'm Lecha Rav Huna, Rav Mishem and Gamliel, Ah Ha'emit Kai, Denachis Ladare. So Rav Huna will tell you that what Rav Mishem and Gamliel was responding to was the Ma'amid structure, where the Jew said to the non-Jew, you know what? Not only can you take the original, you can even take generation number 2, which would exempt one more generation in the Ma'amid scenario. So even the Tanakhama now is going down to the third generation. And to that, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, now keep going. Go down all the way to the 10th generation. Okay. Tashma, one more time, we're going to try to see who seems to be more correct, Rav Huna or Rav Yehuda. Tashma, Mekabotzon Barzal, Mino Ovei Kochavim, Vlados Peturin, Vlade Vlados Lo. So the second generation will be exempt, but not the third. To Yufta de Rav Yehuda. Now, that, what are we quoting? A Brisa? Seems to be a Brisa. That clearly is telling us that we only drop down one generation, not two generations. That seems to be extraordinarily supportive to Rav Huna and seems to be against Rav Yehuda. Amlecha Rav Yehuda, Imahein Uvlado Sehem. We'll make a small emendation of the Brisa. When the Brisa says, right, Mishnah Brisa, Hein Uvlado Sehem, meaning them and their descendants. Okay. Not necessarily generation two, but in other words, just go down. Now, it's a little bit interesting because even if we're going to correct the Mishnah or Brisa to read that way, it doesn't say how far down we're going to go. So it would then be the Mishnah giving us a halacha, but not being clear about how far down to go. It's a little strange. Okay, but it's a way to read it. Ika de Amri Heinu Vlado Sehem Peturin Tiyufta de Rav Huna. Now, the second version of how we're going to learn up this question-answer is going to be just the opposite, meaning the default position will be Heinu Vlado Sehem, which means that we're going to go down generations, not just one, but more than one. So Tiyufta de Rav Huna, and that's difficult to Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says that the Petur only goes down one generation. Amalcha Rav Huna, Ema Heinu Vlados Patur. So he'll change. It won't be Hein Uvlados Sehen, it'll be Hein Uvlados, one generation down. Uvlade Vlados Chayev, and Vlade Vlados would be Chayev. So again, on this machlok between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, the Gemara left it unresolved. Both can learn up the Mishnah, both can learn up the statement from Shimon Gamliel, both positions could be maintained in the Mishnah. So even the Tanakhama's position of, we're going to exempt the next generation. Does that mean generation number two? Or does that even include generation number three, according to the Tanakhama? So machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Okay. Good. We're up to Nidmeh. All right. Sheep gives birth, and what comes out isn't...
seems like as long as the Ovi Kavim has a claim on the sheep, then it cannot be given to Kohen because it's not his.
All right, but... The Rambam takes the Tanakhama, as I would expect, meaning over Shimon Gamliel. Over that, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, unclear, unsure. Okay, we're up to the topic of Nidmeh. We've discussed this topic already a number of times. Right, your sheep gives birth, and now comes a goat. Okay, mutated animal. Looks a little bit weird. Fine. So we're going to see, well, the Mishnah was very clear. The Mishnah says, Rachash Yalda Eiz, we go back to the Mishnah, we review the Mishnah. So this is an exemption. Although we'll learn the psukim in just a moment. It's pater. However, if there's some resemblance between mutated offspring and its mother, so then it's going to be chayev. Wonderful. Says the Gemara, Rachash Yaldam in Eiz, as Rav Oshia min Nahardah, v'aisim in Masis of Yadei. Okay, Rav Oshia comes from Nahardah, and he brings a brisa in his hand, and the brisa reads like this. Rachel bas Eiz, the Eiz bas Rachel, Rav Meir Mechayev, the Chachamim Potrim. Fine. So in the Brisa, the Chachamim say exactly what we expect them to say, which is mutated animal is exempt. But then the Brisa also tells us that Rav Meir disagrees, but Rav Meir says Rechayev. Now the Brisa does not talk about what it's talking about, meaning we don't know what the topic of discussion in the Brisa is. We just simply know goat gave birth to a sheep. Sheep gave birth to a goat. And we know Rav Meir says Rechayev. Chayev and what? So Amar le Rav Oshia le Rabba ki alita lekamet de Rav Huna by mine. So look, your next visit to Rav Huna, I want you to go ask him. Ask him. Rav Meir Mechayev lamai. What's Rav Meir being Mechayev? Ilema le Bechora. You want to tell me that Rav Meir is Mechayev in the mitzvah of Bechora? Can't be. Alaysa le Rav Meir ach Bechor shor, ache hu shor, u Bechoro shor. We've seen this halacha already a number of times in our Masechta. We're only 2.5 weeks into the Masechta. And we know, in order for an animal to be chayv in the midst of a bechor, it must be exactly like its mother. In other words, what comes out has to be identical to the mother. Good. And nobody argues with that. No one refutes that. So that can't, we can't be talking about the mitzvah of Bechor. El al Reishis Hagez. Maybe the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez, where you have a number of sheep, 2, 5, Machlokas, Beishama, Beizillel. So you have a number of sheep, so you have to do take the first shearings of that animal, of those animals, and give it to the Kohen. So maybe what the machlokis in this brisa is regarding the mitzvah of reishis hagez. V'leisle had the tanan debei Rav Yishmael, kvasim shetzimram kashep p'turim reishis hagez. If you have sheep where the wool of it are very hard, not sweater material, not. So it's exempt from reishis hagez. Shenemar migez kivseis chamim. Because the Pasuk in Iyov says that the purpose of wearing wool is to keep you warm. Right. Remember when we did it, according to the Chinuch, the Sefer Chinuch says that the whole point of the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez is to provide the Kohen with clothing. Good. And if it's not going to make clothing, if it's not going to make warm clothing, so then it's going to be potter. So if this goat is coming out of the sheep, right? So what are you doing? You're shearing. You're not shearing anything. There's nothing to shear. There's not wool. You know, it makes sackcloth, but that's not going to keep you warm. So Miguel Skif says, come in. So Amar Lay. Nechzi anan. Okay, so we're striking out. Simply, what is this brisa talking about? Obligated, not obligated, right? When the offspring comes out not looking like its mother. So nechzi anan, let's see. Hachem b'may skin and barach shayadam in eiz v'aviv tayish. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe it's the following. Mom is a sheep, dad is a goat, and what comes out is looks like a goat. Okay, it's a kalayim, it's a crossbreed. And the question over here is, do we regard dad's input? Okay? Should sound familiar, right? In the Gemara Nechulin, we discussed this at length. If I remember correctly, in the Perek of Osav Esbeno, right? We discussed this at length of whether or not we're choshishin lezera'av. So le'inyin Osav Esbeno, kemifelgi derameir savar choshin lezera'av, rabban savar ain choshin lezera'av. So the Gemara says that could be the machlokis between Rav Meir and the Chachamim regarding Osav Esbeno. So the Gemara's response to that is that machlokis already exists. I hachi liflegu b'choshen lezera'av ba'alma b'plukta dechananya v'rabanan. I understand. Rav Meir and the Chachamim seem to mean making a new path, a new machlokis over here. If they're arguing about the tried and true debate of choshen lezera'av, so go back to Chulin, go back to the fifth perek, and you'll learn Chananya and the Chachamim. And there, that's the classic debate. And if Rav Meir and the Chachamim are just echoing the sentiment of Chananya and the Chachamim, they should acknowledge it. And not treat it as if like, somebody else is having that debate. No, they're having the same debate. Ela l'olam l'bechor. So the Gemara says, okay, we're back to square one. What we rejected, in the beginning of the discussion is that they can't be talking about Bechor because we know the halacha is Ache hu shor u Bechor shor, right? The animal that comes out, it's got to look like the mother. So then what's the debate between Rav Meir and the Chacham? Hacha ba ma'iskinan, berachal bas rachal bas eiz. We're going to go 3 generations, okay? The Einiklach is a sheep. Mom is a sheep. What about Bubby? Bubby's a goat. Okay. Marsavar zil basal ime v'hai lav nidmehu. So, in terms of judging now the third generation looks just like her mother. Third generation, however, doesn't look like her grandmother. Grandmother's a goat. So, so as far as the Chachamim are concerned, right, sorry, as far as Rav Meir is concerned, so, it's not a nidmeh. Looks like mom. Mom was a sheep. This is a sheep. We're good. Umar sever zil basar ime di ime v'hai nidmehu. No, it's a nidmeh because even though it looks like its mother, but grandma was a goat, and the granddaughter, or in this case grandson, because we're talking about the mitzvah of Bechor, the grandson has now a sheep. Put the grandson up against the grandmother. Okay, so what the Gemara now is? Okay, good, good. Hold it. Okay, we're gonna get back to that. Hold that thought. E by Yisema, the Gemara says, or I'll give you another suggestion. Berachol bas eiz bas rachol. We'll do the same thing now, but we will stagger. We'll go. The grandmother's a sheep. Next, say generation number two is a goat. Generation number three, we're back to sheep. Okay? So, Mar Savar Chazra Seyus Limkoman. So, we're going to basically say, you know what? Sheep came back. Meaning that that middle generation, mutation, obviously, but now we go to generation number three, we're back. We're back in line. So, this is not a Nidme. And so, therefore, it'd be Chayv in the Mitzvah Bechor. And the other one says, no. Now, once you have that goat in the middle, that's it. That's a total disruption. Meaning, we're not going to look at the sheep and compare it to its grandmother. Oh, the grandson is the sheep and the grandmother is the sheep. Okay, we're good. No. Lo chazur seyusim kaman. Okay, that is another suggestion about this brisa. Rav Ashi amar kigon sheyesh bo mixa semanim. Rav Ashi says, no. How about this? How about the machlokus in the brisa is where, not three generations, simple case, right? Mother was a sheep, and what comes out is not exactly a goat, not exactly a sheep, mitza saman. It resembles its mother somewhat. So man chachamim b'shemad amar she'erosh v'rubo dome le'imo, and the chachamim who say that's pater says mitza samanim is not enough. In order for the child to be obligated in the mitzvah b'chor, it has to have full or at least majority resemblance between it and its mother. And that's Rabbi Shimon. And the Chachamim is Rabbi Shimon. And the Chachamim, no, that is the Chachamim. The Chachamim is Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Meir argues.
The Chachamim said that it's only partial, not.
The Chachamim say you're exempt. Right? And that would fit in with Rabbi Shimon. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, Man Chacham, right? Okay. I'm Rav Yochanan, Moda Rav Meir. Okay, good. So we now have a machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Okay? We're not 100% sure. The Gemara just gave three suggestions. We're not really sure what they're arguing about. But here's the basic idea. The basic idea is if what comes out isn't exactly its mother, Rav Meir says, fine. It's okay. Go forward with Bechor. Right? It's Chayv in the Mitzvah Bechor. What exactly is the case? So again, either we're talking about three generations, where generation number one was a goat, generation number two is a sheep, generation number three is a sheep, or the other suggestion of the Gemara is generation number one is a sheep, two is a goat, three is a sheep. Okay. One of those types of scenarios. But the point is that Rav Meir says, even though it's not exact, it's still chayv in the mitzvah b'chor, and the chachamim say you're pater. Okay. On this, I'm Rav Yochanan, Moda Rav Meir, b'si'ir shel Rosh Chodesh debi'inan ben si'ira. On Rosh Chodesh, there's a mitzvah to bring a si'ir. Si'ir lachatas. Right? Si'ir chatas la'ashem. Right? The chatas is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at Rashi over there in the pasuk. Right, we saw Kadosh Baruch Hu needs a carbon chatas. Right, it's kachim kachim, and right the where do we see this? Masechta Shavuos. Yeah, am I saying it right? Yeah. Masechta Shavuos, right where Kadosh Baruch Hu felt bad for diminishing the moon, so he needed to bring a carbon chatas. Okay, anyway, and by the way, even though Rashi points this out, Tosfos points this out, even though the Gemara right now is talking about Seir of Rosh Chodesh, it really means Seir of any one of the Yontifs. Okay. Seir shel Rosh Chodesh to be Inan ben Seira. Rav Meir says it has to be absolute. The pedigree, the yichus, has to be absolute. So my time, I'm a kra echad. Because it says Seir echad. And we're darshaning hamiyuchad. Uva misheshes imei breshes. Yeah, it has to come from 6 days of creation. Meaning, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed that first sheep, so it was perfect, right? No tainting whatsoever. No issue of lineage whatsoever. Granted, chicken and egg discussion over here, meaning it didn't come from anything, but that's exactly the point, meaning it's not tainted. So when you bring a seir, even Rav Meir, who's a little more flexible in the definition of what a animal is, but when it comes to kachay kachim, when it comes to the seir of Yontif and Rosh Chodesh, there, it cannot have any tainting, no mixing whatsoever, no dilution of another animal. The Gemara says, but don't we know this already? And don't we darshan out for another pasuk? The pasuk says, sure, O Kesef, prat leklayim, cannot be a cross. O Eiz, prat lenidme. The Torah says, O Eiz, Rashi says, we're darshing it from the word O, the extra O. The Torah could have just simply said, V'Eiz. So the Gemara says, so we already know that there cannot be any dilution, any type of tainting. So the Gemara says, look, over there, in that drasha, that was just a simple case where what comes out doesn't look like the mother. But we're talking about a more complex scenario. We're talking about where there are three generations. We're talking about where the third generation looks like the second generation. It's a more complex scenario. So you might have thought, you know what, Rameira says, that's good enough. So the Echad HaMiyuchad is coming to tell us, no, that's not good enough. It has to be you go back three generations. You keep going back. It has to be as purebred as you can get. And if all I had was the Echad HaMiyuchad drasha, maybe that's a special criteria for Karban Chova, for obligatory karbanos, but not for, but Shlamim, right, Ola. Maybe the threshold, maybe the criteria isn't that great. Okay, good. Amrav Acha Bar Yaakov Hakol Modim Dein Loked Al Simro. Okay, what if you make, what if you take the wool of this animal, our Nidma animal, right? The sheep was born from out of a goat. Okay. And what if you take the wool of it and you use it for shatnes? You won't get malchus. It's not wool. I know, you know, it feels like wool. It's tainted wool. And you won't be chayiv on kalamishim kalayim shenema losil bashatnes.
It's not a wool because the mother didn't look like a sheep.
Yeah. And the Gemara, look how the Gemara darshins. Losil bashatnes, ma pishtan shalom nishtana, aftsemer shalom nishtana. Because the Torah says don't cross wool and linen. Linen is pure linen. Wool has to be pure wool. And when we say pure wool, what we mean by that is that the sheep that the wool comes off of has to be a purebred. If it's not a purebred, so then the wool that comes off is not wool. Now, the way the Gemara says it, the Gemara says you won't get malchus. You know what that always means? It means it's still aser, but it's not an issur d'oraisa. Right? Put it in some issur d'rabbanan category. Okay, but it's not issur d'oraisa. Amra papa alkamon should simmer pasul tchelas. Additional to that, also its wool will be pasul for the mitzvah of tchelas. Now, seemingly what that means now is that if you take wool of said animal, meaning the animal doesn't resemble its mother, and you try to make tzitzis out of this wool, you won't be fulfilling your mitzvah of tzitzis. Okay. Because you might have thought, look, in other words, you could make your tzitzis from wool and linen, but you don't have to. You could just make it from wool alone. So you didn't violate, you might have thought, I'm just explaining a havamina. You might have thought that there's no isser of shatnez, but it's good enough to make tzitzis with it by itself, meaning without the mixture. Modim shitzim apostle tchesh and emelosu bashatnez gedilim tasalacha. Tasalach, ma pishin shalom nishtana, aft semer shalom nishtana. Wonderful. So just like you're not violating the Isra of Kalayim, you're also not fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis. Okay, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Hakol Modim Shein Simra Mitame Ben Negayim. Another halacha, that the wool has to be purebred, even in terms of Tumas Negayim. We know that Negayim can affect the body, Negayim can affect a house, and Negayim can affect your clothing. But even your clothing, it's limited. Only wool or linen. And now we're limiting even further. Not just wool, but wool from a purebred animal. Shenemar babeget semer babeget pishtim. Ma pishtim shalom nishtana, af semer shalom nishtana. Good. Amar avashi avana af anu ne'emar hidla hagefen agabe te'ena yein posol l'nesachim. Okay, more halachas of this nature. I take a vine. And I lay it over figs. So now the grapes that grow are going to be absorbing some of this fragrance of the figs. Okay, otherwise known as kalayim. You can't use this for nesachim. Nesachim.
These aren't planted together, it's just air.
Okay, just collecting the fragrance. My taima zevach unesachim. Azevach shlo nishtana, af nesachim shlo nishtana. The grapes have to be of a purebred nature, meaning even if they're absorbing some of the fragrance, some of the smell of the figs, no good. They will not work for nesachim. So maskalar avina hidla pishna agabi higa hachinami dilishtano. So the Gemara says, can't you take linen, the linen plant, and can't you drape them over higa? Higa is some sort of thorn bush. Okay? And what the Gemara now is suggesting is, isn't that going to taint and to dilute some of the, I don't know the fragrance, but just basically the linen plant. So hachinami dilishtane, imkin lomasif samart ma'pishan shalonishtane, da'apishanami mishtane. And if that's true, wouldn't that upset our entire argument that we've been making now for the past 10 minutes? Where we kept saying, well, just like linen is undiluted and untainted, so too the wool has to be untainted as well. But can't we just lay the linen over thorn bush? So Amarle, Zeni Shanarecha, Vezelo Nishanarecha. The Gemara says very simply, no. Because even if I do that, even if I take linen, the linen plant, the flax plant, and I put it over thorn bush, it's not going to change the smell of it. The thorn bush isn't really going to taint the linen, the flax. But if I take the wine and the vineyard and I put it over the figs, it actually will change and distort the grapes. Okay. Ad kan. Okay, that's the first part of today's daf. So we finished up the Tzon Barzel, right, the capital investment, in terms of what is considered Yad Ovi Kochavim. We then went on to discuss the halachas of Nidme. We had a brisa. We weren't 100% sure what the brisa is talking about, where Rav Meir says it's chayiv and the chachamim say you're pater. It's talking about some permutation of Nidme. Gemar gave a number of suggestions, either goat cheap sheep or sheep goat cheap, right? And discussion of whether or not that's considered a purebred or still a crossbred. And then the Gemara says that when it comes to karbanos, specifically the carbon of Yantif and the carbon of Rosh Chodesh, so there even Rav Meir says that it has to be 100% purebred. We learned that from Echad HaMiyuchad. Okay. We now start the next sugya of Bechoros. This is a classic. And this is the discussion of Efshar Litzamtzem. Okay. Do you think we have the ability to be precise? Meaning if I say, I need... Right, I send you to the store and I say to you, go get me 3 pounds. Okay? Is it possible to get exactly 3 pounds? Now, I could be asking this question from a number of standpoints. Meaning, I can ask the question just from a practical standpoint. Meaning, can you do it to the precision? Can also ask it scientifically. Meaning, is there such a thing as exactly 3 pounds? Or exactly 3 inches? Anything that requires measurement. Right, linear measurement, volume measurement, weight measurement. Is there ability to be precise? So, there has to be right, or correct. Do we assume that there's some sort of tolerance? So watch carefully. Rachel shelo bichra. So we'll give the scenario of a sheep. Sheep did not give birth yet to its firstborn, and out comes two boys, at the same time. Sounds like it's going to hurt. Rachel shel bichra v'yalda shnei zechar v'yasu shnei rashem ka'acha. The two heads of the two kids come out at the exact same time. Now I say exact. Hard to imagine. So v'yasu shnei rashem ka'acha. Rav Yosef Aglili omer shneim l'kam shenemar hazecharim l'Hashem. So Rav Yosef Aglili has an unbelievably interesting position, which is that both of them are going to be bechor. Which one's the firstborn? The answer is yes. Yeah, correct. They're both firstborns. Now, the drush is an interesting drush, because the drush is Hazacharim LaHashem. Now, you know that's not Pashup Shah. Pashup Shah, the Pasuk, is simply that, right? In other words, your firstborns, meaning you collectively, your firstborns are going to go to, you know, LaHashem, are going to be a carbon. Okay, that's a Pashup Shah. But Rav Yossi Aglili is saying is, even for one animal, it's possible for one animal to have two firstborns. Now that's a head scratcher, but not anymore. Meaning that's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talks about now where the two of them come at the same time. V'yatzur shnei rashim kecha. Rav Yosef Glila amr shnei mulakom shenemar zecharim lashem. V'chachamim amrim e efshar letzamsen. Now the chachamim say, now that's impossible. Now what's impossible? E efshar letzamsen literally means it's impossible to be that precise. To know which one. Now, there are two ways that we could say this. We could say this like Rashi, we could say this like Tosfos. Rashi says, and the Rambam agrees with Rashi, is that two events cannot happen simultaneously. It's not, the Chachamim's position is not an issue of perception, it's an issue of reality. Meaning, realistically, it's just not physically possible for the two of them to come out at the same time. That's how Rashi understands the Iyah Shalat Samsem. Right, Rashi.
The opening of the uterus is wide enough.
Impossible. Impossible. You understand? Not impossible for the, both of the heads to come out. Right. No, no. That, but that's not what the that's not what the Chachamim are arguing with. It's impossible that they came out exactly at the same time. That's what's impossible. One came out first. We may not know which one comes out first. But it's impossible for them to come out both at the same time. Rashi, if you look at the second Rashi in the Mishnah, Yiv Shalat Samsem, I read, Shiyatsu Shnei Rashem Ke'echad Ela Ha'echad Yatsa Tchila. One of them came out first, V'lo Yada, sorry, lost my spot, V'lo Yedi'inan Hainihu. We just happen not to know which one.
So okay? It could be the same case if he has two baby lamb and it doesn't know which one is a Bechor, which one is not. But from two different sheets.
Correct.
Same thing.
Meaning, right. That is the way that Rashi understands the opinion of the Chachamim. And take a look at Tosfos. And when I say take a look at Tosfos, I mean turn page. And the big Tosfos of Efshal at Samsem. And Tosfos says, no. Hachi Kamar. It is about seven lines before the lines become wide. The first word in the line is Mitzvim Sam. Elahachi kama, efshar levarer simsum shibidei shemaim kagon leida dahacha she'in penai levarer uledaktek eze yatsa tchila. It's a perception issue, says Tosfos, meaning we just don't know. It's possible, but we don't. But we just don't know. Ulekachin shneim lakoin aval bidei adam she'ishals levarer mi bayilan. Good. That is so. It's a machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos, and again the Rambam sides like Rashi. When the Chachamim say, Iyav Shalat Samsem, are we talking realistically? It's impossible. Or are we talking from a perception standpoint? It's impossible. Okay.
In the case that you don't know the next day there are two elements.
But let,
what was the decision? The decision was that if there are two...
I'll tell you what, let's just stay right now, just stay with our case, because our issue right now is going to be an issue of Iyav Shalat Samsem. Let's just stay here. Good. So Rav Yossi Aglili says they're both going to be Kohanim because he holds they both come at the same time. And Rav Yossi Aglili says, Efshal et Samsem, meaning we know with precision. The Chachamim Armim, Efshal et Samsem, the Chachamim disagree. Ela Echad lo, the Echad le Kohen. So one is going to go to you and one's going to go to Kohen. The obvious question, who gets what? Okay. Rabbi Tarfon, next part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Hakohen Borelo Es Hayafe. So Rabbi Tarfon says the Kohen gets a better one. He's a Kohen.
He's going to choose a Kohen. How does a guy?
No, there's not. In other words, one of them is going to be better.
Yeah, but who straw, makes the decision? The Kohen.
I'm not sure, but let's just right now. Let's just talk more in the abstract, right? Without getting too practical. Right, the Kohen's going to get the better one. Rabbi Kiva Amar Mishamnim Beinehem VeHasheni Yira Achi Yistayiv. And Rabbi Kiva says Mishamnim Beinehem. It's not clear what exactly he means. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says that the Gemara later on will tell us. Rabbi Kiva says the Kohen gets the inferior one. Okay, the Gemara is going to discuss what the machlokus between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva is all about. VeHasheni Yira Achi Yistayiv. Now, as far as the second one's concerned, meaning the one that's kept by the Yisrael, look, we don't know which one comes out. Meaning, we're not holding like Rav Yosef Glili. The rest of the Mishnah is all like the Chachamim. We don't know which one's the firstborn. Now, I understand that there's a machlokis in terms of which one the Kohen's entitled to, better one and inferior one. But look, when the day's over, we don't know. Could be that the firstborn was kept with the Yisrael. So you know what the Yisrael does? The one that he keeps, he has to allow it to develop a blemish, and then he eats it. Now, it has kedusha saguf, but with a mum, with a blemish, it no longer needs to be brought as a carbon. The only issue left is... It's good, so you'll treat it like psulam ukdashin. So you'll eat it with a blemish. After the blemish, you'll need to redeem it. Right. Can't shear it, can't work it, all the above. V'chayav b'matanas. But here's the interesting part, is that you have to give the matanas to the Kohen. Okay? The Gemara is going to explain why that should be. Yeah, it sounds strange. Okay, we'll discuss. Rav Yossi Poter, and Rav Yossi says, no, you're not chayav in the matanos. And again, Rashi tells us, wait till the Gemara. The Gemara is going to discuss all this. Meis echad mehem. What if one of them dies? Meaning, again, we're going like the Chachamim, where you have two animals. They both come out of the uterus, and it looks like it comes at the same time, but we don't know. We don't know which one comes out, and one of them dies. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Yachloku. So Rabbi Tarfon says, okay, go split on the remaining one. Okay. Doesn't sound like the same Rabbi Tarfon that we just encountered a couple lines ago in the Mishnah. Right? Rashi makes this point. The Gemara is going to make this point. Right? Look at the second line in Rashi. Chazabar Rabbi Tarfon my dama la'el kedem mefarsh b'gemara desfir le'dafil k'shein chayin malin es ha'yafe b'damim l'shneim she'achloku b'shneim hilkach me'sechad yachloku etzachai. Meaning that Rabbi Tarfon originally said give one of them to the Kohen. No. The better one to the Kohen? No. What Rabbi Tarfon ends up landing on is that we value the two of them and we give half the value to the Kohen. So that if one of them dies, we're still going to give half the value to the Kohen. Rabbi Kiva says, what are you talking about? No, if one of the animals die, the Kohen comes over to you and says to you, okay, give me my Bechor. So you look at him and say, you see that animal that died over there? That could be your Bechor. What do you want to tell me? That the other one's a Bechor? Amotzi mechaver al avaraya. You can't take money away from me unless you know with absolute proof that that money belongs to you. Right? One of our basic rules in Mamonos. So Zachor Nekeva in Kan Lakohen Klum. Now what if what comes out of the mother is a male and female, and again the heads come out at the same time, and again we don't know which one comes out first. So Cohen gets nothing. Ain Kan Lakohen Klum. Hamotzi mechaver al avaraya. Absolutely correct. Okay. Let's finish up. Amri de bei Rabbi Yana le Rabbi Yosi haglili shamina le damer eshlet samsim bidei shamayim. The kosher can be de adam. Rabbi Yosi haglili's position is easy. I mean, of course, you have to accept the whole premise of eshlet samsim. But it's easy because look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah scenario is you weren't even trying to be precise. Meaning nature took its course. The two animals come out at the same time. Rabbi Yosi haglili says, With just the human eye, you can tell that they came out exactly at the same time. And that's what the Gemara calls bidei shamayim. Meaning, you weren't even trying to be precise. And Rav Yossi Aglili says, you still have the ability and the perception to be precise. Now imagine bidei adam. Imagine if you're trying. Mm-hmm. So Rav Yossi Aglili will for sure say, efshel etzamtzem. So, really, we don't even have to talk about Rav Yossi Aglili. But let's talk about the Chachamim. Because the Chachamim say that in the case of our Mishnah, E F Charlotte Samsein. But that's a case where you weren't trying. All you were doing was just observing two animals come out of its mother. That's called Bidei Shamayim. So there the Chachamim say, I understand the person's going to struggle. And we don't expect the person to know which one comes out first. But what if it's Bidei Adam? What if you're trying to be precise? Would the Chachamim then agree, Efshel Etzamtzem? Now, by the way, Tosfos sounds so much better on this Gemara, on this discussion of the Gemara. Because according to Tosfos, what's the Gemara basically asking? Meaning the whole issue of Efshel Etzamtzem is a perception issue. It's not a reality issue. So from Tosfos' standpoint, you understand what the Gemara is doing right now. Meaning that in the case of the two animals coming out simultaneously, you weren't trying to be precise. It just happened. But what if you're trying? Is there now now that you're looking carefully and you're actually measuring, the Chachamim now agree to Rav Yosef Lili of Efshel Etzamtzem? Good. From Rashi's standpoint, it's going to be a little bit trickier to understand what the Gemara now is asking. So the kosher can be done in Verabanan, bidei shamayim, yeshalat samtim, bidei adamai. What about bidei adam, according to the Chacham and Tashma? So the Gemara says, well, let's look. And what we're going to do is look around Shas, and look at various halachas that require measuring. Okay? And we're going to see. So number one, chutzal sikra chogra be'emsa lahavdo bein damim l'halyonim bein damim l'tachtonim. Beautiful. We start with the Mizbeach. Mizbeach's got a red line, the chut ha-sikra, that is painted right around the center point of the Mizbeach. And you know that damim of certain animals go above. Remember which one?
Yeah.
Chatos. Chatos goes up. Ola goes down. Ola of the bird goes up. Oh, you do remember. So, okay, good. So, bein damim l'yonim bein damim l'tachtonim. Now, the Torah requires that the blood of your chatas has to go up. Has to go up. Cannot go below the chut ha-sikra. And the blood of your ola and all other karbanos has to go below and can't go up top. Okay. What if we didn't measure correctly? What if we took the chut ha-sikra and we thought it was the middle, but it turns out that our measurement was off? So the Gemara says, and what can happen now is a halachic snafu. In other words, because you think that you're sprinkling the blood, meaning you hit it right above the chut ha-sikra, but it turns out we didn't measure well.
What about this principle that the always be that the Torah wasn't given to Malach Hashar?
Essentially, that's going to be the Gemara's answer. Okay. The Gemara's not going to use that terminology.
You have to use that many times before.
Okay, fine. Okay, wait. Demarvach be porta. So the Gemara says, well, that's easy to solve because we can hold EF Charlotte Sam same. And what they did is they didn't paint a thin red line. They made a thick red line. In other words, to account for human error in measurement. Good. Tashma. Mimidas kelim umidas mizbeach. The Gemara says, I'll ask you such a simple question. The Torah tells us to construct a Mishkan and ultimately a Beis HaMikdash. And the Torah gives us measurements. How are we mekayim the mitzvah? Yeah, how are we going to fulfill it? We have to measure exactly. And if we don't measure exactly, we're not fulfilling the mitzvah. So essentially what the Gemara is asking now is, of course it's Efshel Tzamtzim. Otherwise, how are we doing the mitzvah? But now the Gemara is going to answer, Shani Hasim, Derechmana Amar, Avid, Uvachol Hecha Damatzis Lame'ebad, Nichale. The Gemara, you know what the Torah is telling us? Try your best. Give it a good shot. Meaning, and I say that the Aron has to be, right, Amasayim Umechsa. It has to be 2.5 amas. Okay, so to the best of your ability, I know you're not going to get it precisely, but to the best of your ability, try to get there. To 2.5 amas. Okay. Amar, now, oh, by the way, Hakol Bichtav Mi'an Hashem Alai Skil. So Rashi is of the position that line doesn't belong here. Meaning that, so somehow it crept into the Gemara, it snuck in there. take it out, says Rashi. Okay, doesn't really fit into the flow of the Gemara. Amar of Ketina, Tashma. Let's do one more of these. Chalko l'shnayim v'hein shavim, shneim tameim l'fi she'ev shalat samtzim. Okay, we learned this back in Chulin. I take an earthenware oven, clay cheres. And I break it in half. Now, what's the result? The larger piece is still going to be an oven, and the smaller piece is going to be considered shivrei, just shards, nothing. The smaller piece is going to lose tuma, and the larger piece is going to retain tuma. What if I break the oven right in half? So both are tummy, because we now don't know. You got to break them into three pieces, correct? Yeah, we learned that back in Chulin. So Tashma Chalkol Shtayim Ein Shavin Shneim Tameim Lefishi E F Shalat Samtsim. You cannot be Mitzamtsim. So Amar of Kahana, that seems to be pretty clear. Meaning, there's a scenario where you're trying, and meanwhile E F Shalat Samtsim. That seems to answer our question pretty resoutly. Amar of Kahana Shani Klei Cheres Hol VeYesh Bo Gumos. So he says, no, you have to leave Klei Cheres out of the discussion because you can't get a clean break on earthenware. Try to break earthenware. There's going to be gumos. It's going to be a jagged break. It's not fair. It's not fair to use that as a model case because there it's just going to be too jagged. Okay. Good. Let's stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Finish our discussion of Efshel at Samtsim. Right? Just really great discussion. By the way, this is it. This is the main location of the sugya of Efshel at Samtsim. And then we move on. Okay?